This is Yassos, and you're listening to West Coast Fog.
Hey, how's it going? You're listening to West Coast Fog. Here we are in an unnamed Marin County town. We just took a nice little stroll through the park under the redwoods and crossed the bridge, across the creek. Now we're just sitting outside the community hot tubs here. You wouldn't believe it, but we just had lunch with Yasos. Yeah, the Yasses. Basically the co-founder, along with Stephen Halpern, of New Age music. In America, anyway. He made his first record, Interdimensional Music, in 1975. And he's never stopped. So he was talking today a lot about the beings that help him make his music. Angels and elementals, devas, and God, really God. But he also makes use of a lot of technology, and so we asked him a little bit about that, and one thing he was into right now was convolution. And he's going to explain here a little bit about what he means by convolution. This is Yasses.
With convolution, you make a recording, which they call an impulse response, of a sudden loud sound in a space. Loud sounds could be you clapping, or it could be a recording of a balloon popping, or a pistol shot, any of those things. And you can record them in different spaces. You could record it in a stadium, in a bathroom, in a closet, in a recording studio, in a cavern, in a canyon, any of those things, and just record it. Let's say you record a pop in a canyon and you record another pop in a cave. Then you go back and bring all those impulse responses into your studio. And let's say you record a person talking and you record them dry and with no room echo at all, just totally dry, okay? Now, if you convolute that sound with the impulse response you have of the canyon, and listen to it, it'll sound like they're talking in the canyon. If you convolute that sound with the impulse response of them talking in the cave, it'll sound like they're talking in the cave. And if you do it with an impulse response of them in the Taj Mahal, it'll sound like they're talking in the Taj Mahal. So in film studios, they use convolution a lot nowadays to give the impression of the kind of space a person is talking in or walking in or fighting in, whatever. But I take that idea much farther out, because you don't have to convolute it just in normal spaces. As an impulse response, you can use any other sound. Basically, convolution multiplies two sounds together. So an example that I mentioned before was, I made my convolution sound be the sound of hitting a timbali drum, which I like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. And then I had a dry recording of me talking. And when I convoluted them together, holy cow, it sounded like Yasses talking inside a timbali drum. It was just outrageous.
Thank you.
right, that was Yasos doing Ubud Trance Dance, a piece of his from pretty recent anyway. We're just sort of reliving our meeting with Yasos this afternoon and going back over the tapes that we recorded of him telling stories. One of the stories that stuck out the most was his story about Pan, the great god Pan, who's close to our hearts here at West Coast Fog because of the magazine we did for many years called Great God Pan. It so happens that Yasos has many experiences with Pan as well, and so here he is talking about going back to Greece and trying to get Pan to kick him down some knowledge.
Once I was in Greece traveling by myself, and I wanted to go to the only place in Greece where there's a sanctuary for the Greek god Pan. You know, the nature god Pan. And I was hoping that when I went there, I might receive some musical inspiration from him. So it's on the island of Thassos, which rhymes with Yasos. It's in northeastern Greece. I finally got there late in the afternoon. So I got myself a motel room in a little place, and I got out my Greek tourist map, found out where the altar for Pan is, and I decided the next day I'd go there, hoping to tune into Pan and hoping to receive some music from him. And the next day I got high in Turkish coffee, so high that I was actually trembling, I was so high from it. And I had my flute with me, and I had a little pocket notebook with me, so if I heard any music in my head, I could take out my flute, figure out what I was hearing in my head. Once I figured it out, take out my notebook, write it down. So as I was approaching this hill where Pan's altar was, there were goats grazing around there, casually. And when I got to it, it was like a little cave that had a carving on it, showed Pan. And it showed Pan lying on his side, playing his flutes. And it had two goats above him, both on their hind legs, with their front legs touching each other, creating an arc over Pan. And I knew that that was the spot because I felt his presence there. So I got really quiet. I said, "Pan, I'd love to receive your music. Please send me some music ideas." Nothing happened. I was trying to argue and reason. Come on, Pan. God, come a long distance. I'd love to get some of your music ideas. And I just tuned in. Nothing happened. But I felt as I could practically smell him. You know, he has a very earthy smell. Really an intense, in fact, a wildly intense being, although a wonderful, loving being. Nothing happened. After about 2.5 hours of this, I got frustrated. I said, "Okay, that's it. I'm going back." Nothing happened. I was so frustrated, so disgusted, nothing happened. That night in my motel room, I said, "I do not accept this. I'm going to go again tomorrow." So again, the next day, I get high in Turkish coffee, so high that I'm practically trembling in my body. Again, I bring my flute with me. And I go back there, and again, there are goats grazing around. I find the sanctuary. And again, I sense his presence. So I close my eyes. I tune into him. I said, "Pan, I'm a musician from California. I would love it if you'd share some of your music ideas with me." Nothing, absolutely nothing. Oh man, this is getting frustrating. Another hour of that or so, nothing happened. Finally, in my desperation, in my extreme desperation, I said this, "Listen, Pan, if you teach me your music, I'll be your West Coast representative." And the instant that I had that thought, bam, it started happening. What started happening was, he slowly started, like an umbrella, lowering his conscience over mine. And when that happened, everything around me started becoming very enchanted and magical. He basically merged his consciousness with mine to the extent to which I was perceiving all the force around me in a very different way. And the way I was perceiving this force all around me was, everything was extremely enchanted, extremely magical. There are no words to convey how magical and enchanted it was. As a matter of fact, the English language doesn't have any words to probably convey it. Closest word is enchanted. But imagine another word that's 13 times more enchanted than the word enchanted. That's how it was, you know? There are all these creatures, different sizes, flitting about. And everything was very heavenly. The feeling was so sweet, so blissful, so heavenly, like a reverie, like a dream. I was so blissed out in that space, I didn't want to move, you know? I just totally blissed out on it. I was hearing music, there are creatures flying around, tiny, tiny fairies, bigger one fairies, all different sizes. Everything was in total absolute harmony. There wasn't any dissonance anywhere. Everything was so sweet, so loving, And I was just in pure reverie, just like, oh, I don't ever want to leave this place. And then again, my logical mind nudged me on the shoulder. Hey, Yasos, we're hearing an unusual scale. You should figure it out. And so if I do that, then I might pop out of this space I'm in. I don't want to lose this space. But come on, Yasos, you came here to get unusual music. You're hearing an unusual scale now. Figure out what it is. It's the most unusual scale. Figure it out. Figure it out. I said, no, if I do that, I might lose this space. I don't ever want to lose this space. And so on. Well, you came. So I kept going, okay, I'll take a chance. So I popped out, took out my flute, figured out the scale it was, and it was the very unusual enchanting scale, meaning a scale that induces enchantment, a scale that induces a very magical feeling. And I wrote it in my little notebook. I got it. Well, that in itself is a great find. I got a magical scale. That in itself is fantastic. Now let me see if I can get back in that space. Both my eyes, bam, instantly back in that space. Oh, this is so wonderful. And again, I was just blasting out, and it was fun. I just loved being there. I didn't want to come out of it. And again, my logical mind nudged me on the shoulder. Yasos, this is yet a different magical scale. You should figure this one out too. And again, I said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. This is so much fun. I love being here. I don't want to risk losing it by coming out, writing down. Then I'll lose this space. I mean, yeah, but you came here to get music. This is unusual. Okay. So I popped out again, got on my flute, figured out the scale. Sure enough, it was another unusual scale. Wrote it down in my notebook. Let's see if I can get back into it. So I get back into it. Well, this cycle happened so that in half an hour, I got 10 totally unique magical scales. And he also taught me how to play two flutes at once. And one thing Pan wanted me to do was change the bad PR he got from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was trying to stop nature worship. So they patterned the devil to look like Pan looks. And he didn't like that. When people see him, they think devil. And he's nothing like the devil. So he wanted me to do what I could to straighten out that negative connection in PR. Yeah. So that's what I got from Pan.
Thank you.
All right, that was Pan Musing by Yassos, talking about his first-hand experience talking to Pan in Greece, the home of Pan. And after he became the West Coast representative of Pan, Pan called on him once in a while. He tells a story about driving up to Reno one time, and Pan contacted him on the freeway. Another time up in Mount Shasta, Pan made a pretty grand appearance. Let's hear him talk about that.
I did a concert once in Mount Shasta. And in that concert, I asked the people, I'd like to welcome the elementals in this wonderful area into our concert. Would you like to do that? And they all said yes. It's okay, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to be playing some happy music. And while the music's going on, I'd like you all to send out a very welcoming vibe to the elementals. And there'll be, I had two women by the door, back door. Please welcome them all in. And both of these women sensed the same thing that happened. While I was playing the music, they felt this whole stream of being all different sizes coming in. Some of them sitting on people's shoulders, on their head, on their lap, you know. Elemental beings, all different sizes coming in, rolling in. And at one point, there's a hushed whisper. Pan walked in. It was like royalty. Everybody was in a hushed whisper when Pan walked in. And once he got settled, and then it was, you know, basically Elemental's very giddy and jolly and, you know, like laughing all the time, very jovial. They're so jovial that they make the most jovial humans seem really glum. Like, they don't understand why humans are so glum. Man. Anyway, when Pan plays the flute, he materializes it. And when he's finished playing it, he just throws it away. He doesn't dematerialize it. He throws it away. As soon as he does, all the elemental jump for it. Boom, I got it. No, I got it first. No, I got it. It's mine. No, it's mine. Yeah. I got one of Pan's flutes. You know, it's like a status symbol for it.
Thank you.
song called Night Wind there from Yasos off of his Bora Bora 2000 record. Pan was sort of the king of the elementals, as he's talking about there, and sort of a celebrity among them. Yasos has a lot of interactions with elementals, and here he is talking about one particular recording session where they were, I guess, pretty helpful.
I was going to record something when I lived in Terra Linda. I had a backyard, and I was going to record a half hour of my zither and record two passes of it for half an hour, then blend them together and make that call Liquid Crystal Love. For the first half hour, I invoked all the angels that I work with professionally quite regularly. I invoked them to influence me while I'm playing zither. So I did that. I was trying to be really careful not to make any mistakes during that half hour, and I succeeded. It took tremendous concentration, but I did it. And then when I finished that recording, I got ready to do another pass of 30 minutes. And then I had the thought, you know, why don't I invite the elementals in my backyard to participate in this? Because I've never invited them in. The first half invited the angels. Why do we have the second half influenced by the nature beings in my backyard? Good idea. So I waited a few minutes, so I rested up. And then I opened the sliding door between my living room and my backyard. I went in the backyard and said, hey, elemental beings, listen up. I'm going to record some music. And I'd love to invite you in so you can influence me so we can all co-create this together. Want to come in? Come on, let's do this. I'll do it. So I started walking inside, and I looked behind me, and what I sent was really funny. They were all in single file behind me. You can imagine the elementals, all different sizes, but in single file, they were like a group coming in. It was all single file following me in. They went through my living room, through my kitchen, into my recording studio. So they're coming in. I'm getting ready to record. So I'm going to record my music, and I want you to co-create with them, just put out energy while I'm doing it. Some of them were kind of like shy or scared. They didn't want to come in. The more brave ones came in and were in the recording studio. So I started recording. They didn't know what it was going to be like, if it was going to be music they liked or not. You know, they were kind of like cautious. So I started playing the zither. After a few seconds of the sound, they knew they liked it. It wasn't a question in their mind. Some of them immediately ran up, shoom, like that, to tell their friends outside, hey, this is great stuff, you got to come in. Then they felt safe, zoom. Suddenly, while I'm recording, trying really hard to concentrate, there's a river of beings coming in the room from the outside. A river, like continuously coming in. And I was telepathically telling them, okay, look, you can be any place except don't get on the zither and don't get on my foot pedals. Anywhere else is fine. Don't get on the zither, don't get on the foot pedals. And one of them came up to me, got in my head, looked down, said, anywhere else? I said, yeah, anywhere else. Okay, took off again. And I kept doing it. More and more beings come in. And then another being came up to me while I was recording. I was really trying hard to stay focused. He came up to me and said, can we have the neighborhood elementals come in too? I said, yeah, but just remember, tell them not on the zither and not on my foot pedals. Okay, took off really fast, recorded. And then they're coming in. So it was hard to concentrate and not make a mistake because I sense all these beings all over the place. And they're on me, you know, on my shoulders, just all over the place. And I'm still trying hard to record. And at one point, I almost lost it. At one point, outside, we had a compost pile. And there were potatoes growing out of the compost pile. One of the devas of those potatoes was on top of my head. And that potato deva went like this and looked at me upside down. And was so hysterically funny, I almost lost it. To see a big potato deva look upside down at me like this, but putting his head down to where we're looking eye to eye. And he looked so funny. I almost lost it that instant. It took tremendous self-control. I managed to not lose it. So I kept going, and I managed to finish the second half-hour recording. So I finished. Thank you very much. We did it. I just felt like resting. I was pooped out from all that concentration. But they wanted to hear what they just recorded. So, okay, I'll play for you. Thank you.
Liquid Crystal Love there from Yasos, recorded with a little bit of help from the Terra Linda Elementals. They all came and joined in, even the Potato Deva. And no one stood on the zither or the pedals, it doesn't seem like. We talked a lot more about the inspiration Yasos gets for his music and how it comes to him, and it's not always on his own schedule. So here's a little story he told us about trying to make a musical representation of God's heart. And it took a while, but when it finally hit him, he got what he said was divinity overload. And the resulting song was the Diamond Heart Center of Creation.
At one point, I decided I want to create music that conveys the feeling of going to God's heart. Just going to God's heart. And other people might think, well, how presumptuous, what makes you think you can be going to God's heart? I'm thinking, I'll tell you why, because the universe is holographic. Each part contains a whole. Therefore, God's heart is inside me and I'm inside God's heart. That's why I think I can do it. So, I got everything ready to record. I had my MIDI recorder ready, so whatever I play on the keyboard, it gets recorded. I put myself in a meditative state and I started thinking, okay, I want to go to God's heart. And I got in a meditative space waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened. So I did it again the next day, just intending to create music that is a rendition of God's heart. And the next day, nothing happened. For a whole week, nothing happened. And I was just sitting there in front of my keyboard, ready to record anything. Nothing happened. After 1 week of that, I refined my intention. Instead of intending to go to God's heart, I intended to be God's heart, okay? So that's a refinement of the meditation. So the first day, nothing happened. And this is hours of just sitting there in front of the keyboard trying to receive something. Second day, nothing happened. And then the third day, woohoo! This is a whopper. The third day, I think it was the third day, it might have been the fourth, who knows. One of those days, something happened that totally caught me off guard and I was not ready for this. Suddenly my heart was being tossed around by these huge waves of divine love. And when I say huge waves of divine love, my heart felt like such a tiny, tiny little thing being thrown around by these humongous waves of divine love. I give an analogy to give you an idea of the difference. Imagine an ocean waves during a huge storm where the waves are 80 feet high. And imagine a tiny cork like from a wine bottle being bounced around in those huge ocean waves 80 feet high. Well, my heart felt like that tiny cork. And the huge ocean waves were waves of divine love. Intense, intense, intense divine love. I started crying. I couldn't stop. I was sobbing out of divinity overwhelm. Now, I'm by myself in my studio. And I'm sobbing. I'm just crying because I'm in divinity overwhelm. It's so overwhelming. There's nothing I can explain how overwhelming it is except that analogy just gave. Really, really overwhelming. And then in the middle of all that, my logical mind tapped me on the shoulder. These Yasos. Now that you got it, why don't you put it to music? So that was the beginning of a piece which is called the Diamond Heart Center of Creation. And I consider the combination of the music and visuals to be the highest art form I've created so far.
The Diamond Heart Center of Creation there Yasos was telling us one story about how after a show he was playing, this rich millionaire guy from San Francisco came up to him and said, "Hey, come back to my mansion and let's hang out." And he didn't do it the first time. The guy kept pestering him after every show. So finally he went over there to visit and see what was going on. And something incredible happened. We're going to let Yasos tell you about it.
So we arranged it to where on one particular Sunday afternoon, I was going to visit him in his mansion in San Francisco. So I went there, and it was in a very expensive part of town with all these very wealthy mansions, each with three or at least three floors. Who knows what else they have. So we went inside his mansion. He's showing me. I said, "Come downstairs. I want to show you something." So he takes me downstairs. He says, "Go into this room." Now, once I go into that room, what happened? Happened in a split second. But there are many flashes of different segments of reality that happen within that short piece of time. And if I can break up those flashes one at a time. So first I open the door. I start walking in. I notice something moving to my left. I start turning, I look more. He says, "It looks like a full-grown lion." And then he's looking at me. He's crouching. He looks like he's about to pounce towards me. The next thing, lion just leaps towards me in midair. And then he's flying in the air towards me. And I have this fleeting thought, I think maybe I'm going to die now. Then he lands on me with his front paws on my shoulders. And he's so heavy that I'm almost falling backwards. And then he starts licking my face. His tongue felt like warm, wet sandpaper. His tongue's like maybe 3.5 inches wide. Just licked my face and had intense love. And the instant I felt that love, instantly I felt totally safe. Absolutely safe. As safe as it was a little kitten. Just absolutely, absolutely safe. And that lion had a more intense love than I've ever felt from any human being. I've never felt anything that even remotely was as loving as what that lion had. Just intensely loving. So we became instant friends.
We've been listening to snippets of a conversation we had with Yasos this afternoon down at the cafe. Wonderful time. Thanks, Yasos, for spending your afternoon with us. We'd like to thank Brooke and Shawnee at University of Pennsylvania for helping clean up these tapes, and also special thanks to Douglas McGowan from Yoga Records for being our spirit guide today. And also much respect to the community hot tubs, where we're making sure to use our inside voices. And if you want to know more about Yasos, go to his website, yasos.com. There's a great 1979 documentary on there where he explains a lot more about his higher self. He's basically functioning as a step-down transformer, receiving transmissions from his boy Vista, feeding him music for years. Anyway, our time's about up now, so I think we're gonna take it out back to the clothing optional sun deck. No talking out there, so we'll see you guys all next week.
The initial trigger happens different ways. Sometimes I'll get a feeling and I'll get a musical vision of the beginning of something, and then that'll lead to the rest of it, the rest of it. And other times, I'll stumble across a sound that resonates with me, and that sound will blossom into a new piece of music. And what actually happened was I started creating chords on that, and after a few chords, as if my high soul came to me and says, "Yasos, why don't you just move over and let me show you the kind of feelings I have?" I said, "Whoa, baby." And that was intense. And that became a piece called Divine Passion.